maintenance plan to take your business forward.
Mediated conversation on SAFM.
27 minutes now to 9. The time for your mediated conversation this Tuesday morning. Over the last 20 years, one of the debates that we've had pretty consistently as a society is around whether we should introduce a basic income grant. It's a debate that's evolved pretty quickly more recently, particularly as we've come out of the pandemic and the recent news that 10.6 million people who had received the social distress of relief grant in the past had not received one. The entire issue has become more and more pressing. In the middle of this comes a report from the Centre for Development and Enterprise that suggests that, in fact, we cannot afford a basic income grant. There are also strong arguments in favour of one. So then, at the moment, as the debate continues to evolve, what are some of the arguments for and what are some of the arguments against? First this morning, presenting some of the findings for the Centre for Development and Enterprise, its Executive Director, Anne Bernstein. And then, making the case for a basic income grant, a strong supporter of it, Duma Kubule, a research associate at the Social Policy Initiative. He was commissioned to write a paper on the basic income grant. We start then with the Director at the Centre for Development and Enterprise, Anne Bernstein. Anne, good morning.
Good morning.
You start by asking six separate questions around a basic income grant. And I think perhaps the most important question you ask, they're all important, but perhaps the most important you ask, is can we afford one? You say we cannot. Why do you say that?
Well, South Africa already has an enormous debt. And we're saying that current spending is already unaffordable. We're living beyond our means. And adding a large permanent spending commitment will reinforce the unsustainable trajectory of fiscal policy. And there are different proponents of a basic income grant, but their ideas range from adding some 200 to 300 billion rand per annum. And we just cannot afford that. Since 2008, government debt has risen from about 26% of GDP to about 70%. A rise that's among the steepest in the world. And now our debt service costs, repaying the interest on our debt, exceeds spending on education or healthcare. And it's already squeezing out spending on other critical functions.
So then what would happen if we were to implement a basic income grant you say we cannot afford? What would happen to our economy, to our society, in your view?
Well, there are two kinds of proposals. The one is we should just raise additional taxes to pay for this in broad terms. But there are two big problems with this. Firstly, can we really raise a very substantial amount of new revenue, even in the order of 200 billion for a big? We have a small tax base, maybe a declining tax base, and to assume that this would have no effect on economic performance or our prospects is a mistake. In our view, it would lead to reduced economic growth and fewer jobs. And then a tax shock of this size would have an impact across the economy. So we think raising taxes is simply not plausible. So that's the one approach. The other is the approach of your guest later this morning, who says that we should just print money to pay for a big. And he believes in a rather unorthodox theory that countries that borrow in their own currency, printing money won't cause inflation until you reach real economic constraints. Now, similar to the raising taxes idea, this massively underestimates the risks. If we were to... You know, this would represent a fundamental departure from the current role of the Reserve Bank, which is charged with maintaining the value of the currency, and instead its policies would be dictated by the financing needs of government. Inflation, in our view, would be inevitable. And already South Africa, anyway, has reached the limits of some of its key capabilities, if you think of energy. So we just think this is a very unorthodox approach. It's not compelling. And inflation would be inevitable, and as the governor of the Reserve Bank keeps telling us, the poor are more affected by inflation than anyone else. And this will push the poor deeper into poverty.
You will know the response that will come, which would be this. Can we afford not to pay a basic income grant? If you look at the problems that we have, if we look, I mean, for perhaps the first time in many years, we have people, we have children who are not just not getting enough food, literally could be starving right now. Is it not obvious we must do something?
So, Stephen, South Africa's drowning in poverty. We estimate and suggestimate that we're over 60% of the population now lives on less than 1,000 rand per month, which is horrific. The truth is that appalling policy choices over the last decade and a badly managed pandemic has resulted in the country falling into a very, very deep hole, digging itself into this hole. And there are no magic bullets. There's no simple way of how we can get out of this. So we're as concerned about poverty as anyone else. The only way to deal with poverty on a sustainable basis is to take the hard decisions that are needed for faster growth, to make sure that that growth is much more labor intensive, because unemployment is the key factor, not the only, but the key factor causing this enormous poverty. And we can't just talk about all of this. We have to take the legislative and policy decisions required for labor intensive faster growth. And then you must look at the money we already spent on redistribution, which is not insignificant. We have cash transfers, which are well targeted, and we probably provide cash transfers at three times the rate of most developing countries. So this is significant. The problem is the other areas of redistribution in our budget, where we spend a lot of money on basic schooling, on health care, on free electricity, water, this, that, and the next thing, and housing, but it's badly spent. We're not getting value for money. So we're saying, in order to deal with poverty, you have to take the hard decisions. We need a new approach to large parts of our redistributive spending. We need much greater urgency from this government, and we need a new approach to governance.
You talk about our redistributive state. You suggest we're not getting real value for money. So, for example, we pay 10,000 Rand a year to educate a child for 12 years. Are we actually getting a full 120,000 Rand's worth of education for that child at the end of 12 years? Where's the money? Where's the leakage? Why are we not getting value for that money?
Well, I think two things are happening. The one is that as the budgets for, say, education go up and up, a lot of that is being absorbed by public servants. Now, the public servants work in a system that is not delivering quality education to 70 to 80% of our schools. So that is why we wallow at the bottom of almost every international table, where countries that are poorer than South Africa and spend proportionately less money are doing better than us. So there's something wrong with the system. And in my view, if you're really concerned about poverty, that is one area of criminal neglect. We need to fix it. We can't have the situation of corruption and low value for money in our education system for any longer.
There is a claim which is made, an argument around a basic income grant, that this will stimulate the economy, it will lead to more demand, and that there will be a strong economy at the end. The argument, as I understand it, is put like this. If more people have more money in their pocket, they will spend more money, which means, for example, more people would buy, clothes, but many of them are made in China, but they'll buy things that are made in South Africa, and that will stimulate the economy. You say that will not happen. Why not?
Well, it's not just us who says that. The 2015 Davis Tax Committee established that a 45 billion increase in tax rates would reduce economic output, and the Department of Social Development's expert panel report late last year also concludes that higher taxes will slow growth, even after taking into account increased spending stimulus by poor households who get a big. So this assumption that imposing a huge increase on taxes on a very small tax base would have no effect on economic performance and prospects is just simply not plausible. You know, actions have consequences. So you want to fund a big, you have to think through how finding that money through taxes is going to play out throughout the economic system. And we're saying that it's very, very likely that paying for a big mainly through taxes, because we can't see how else to do it. Some people say we must cut the budget even more, but I don't know where you're going to cut. We've cut already. That this is not the approach to go for.
Is it not the case that poorer people spend more money because they have very little money to spend, and richer people spend less of the money they have? So isn't it better for an economy to redistribute quite heavily? This would be how you would do it.
Well, Stephen, as I've said, I think we redistribute a lot already. Now, you could say, as the Institute of Economic Justice has worked out, they're saying, let's have higher wealth taxes, for example. But you have to then think about what that means throughout the economy. And I'm saying the Davis Tax Committee, the Department of Social Development's experts panel, all agree with us that the impact of this throughout the economy is going to be negative on growth, negative on jobs, and therefore not great for getting people into employment and out of poverty.
The point of a basic income grant really is to get more money into households. That's the point of it. We call it a basic income grant, but it's about getting more money to make sure that poorer people are less poor. What other options are there apart from a basic income grant for that? What other options would you pursue?
Well, I think we have to, as I said earlier, I think we've got to accept the country is in a terrible situation. We're in a crisis on every front. Poverty and unemployment are appalling, catastrophic, but there is no magic bullet. So magical thinking is not going to help us. We have to do the hard work that other countries have done. We've got to get faster growth. But getting a job is going to be the most important route out of poverty. We have to get value for money in, say, education, and ensure that people are getting a decent education like you and me, so that they're more employable on the job market. So there's a whole lot of hard things we have to do, but we're doing bits and pieces, but it's much, much too slow. And we're not focused as a country, as a government, on the urgency of action to get a sustainable approach.
Anne Bernstein, thanks very much indeed, Executive Director at the Center for Development and Enterprise. In a moment, the other side of this, Duma Qobule. He is a research associate at the Social Policy Initiative. You'll hear his view in a moment. You're with your SAFM. Your mediated conversation will continue. It's 14 minutes to 9.
SAFM.